It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, our show is there too at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, drop us a review, leave us some stars. You guys should know the drill by now. Before I get into the topics for today's show, sorry for the delay in getting this one out to you guys, since we haven't spoken since last Friday, and by the time this will be published, it'll be Thursday morning. I was hit with I guess it was like a stomach virus or something, pretty hard late Easter Sunday evening, well into Monday morning. I didn't wind up sleeping Monday night at all. And that just, you know, really put a damper on the start of my week. Had some symptoms that were mildly COVID-esque, and so that was a bit of a worry there. Had to call in sick to work for a couple days, and that was just not a fun start to my week, so I kind of got the ball rolling really slowly on like show prep and all that kind of stuff for this week. So, but that is now taken care of. I am 100% healthy now and able to now chat with you guys. So for today's show, what I do want to cover, and I guess one more tangent before I do dive into today's topics. I did decide to give myself a quarantine cut, a quarantine haircut, because my super duper long hair was not working for me anymore. It had become unruly. I needed a haircut for a while, and then everything shut down, and I was like, well, I'm screwed. So I decided to shave it all off. And as I posted this on my personal social accounts, somebody, because there's a handful of you guys that follow me on Instagram for whatever reason, even though I don't post Rocket stuff there that often. And somebody commented saying that Chandler Parsons wants his haircut back, which I thought was honestly quite hilarious, because then I looked at the photo that I posted and went and looked at some photos of Parsons with his buzzed hair off. And I was like, well, damn. Yep, I kind of look like Parsons with this new haircut. So obviously, I had to take that back to Twitter, where people had a field day with it. So if you haven't seen that, feel free, check out my Twitter. There's a side-by-side comparison of me and Chandler Parsons, and maybe you can get a good laugh out of that. So for today's show, for the first thing I want to do is I do want to share, you know, and I'm sure some of you guys have seen the stories that are out there because there's reporting on it every single day, but there has been so much good done by Rockets players specifically, and that's what I want to focus on, but you know, at large, just other organizations, other players, other even just individuals like you and me, you know, so much good is being done throughout this pandemic to, you know, help our fellow man and, you know, really contribute back to society and just, you know, everybody helping each other out. And that's exactly what we need in a time like this. And so I do want to highlight some of the different things that the Rockets players and the Rockets organization has done throughout this, you know, stretch of really weird times to try and help out the community. But I also want to get into some, you know, a bit of basketball talk, because that's what this podcast is about. And so Eric Gordon actually visited with Matt Thomas, the Rockets road play-by-play announcer and home PA announcer. He visited with Matt Thomas on Matt's show on Sports Talk 790 Tuesday afternoon. And so for those of you that didn't catch that interview or haven't read an article recapping that interview, I do want to kind of go over some of the things that Eric said. And so we'll actually hear the audio from that interview coming up in segment two, and I'll have some thoughts and reactions on that in segment three. But first and foremost, let's get this out of the way, because I, you know, this is what I want to lead with, because I think it matters, right? It matters that we are human beings, we're individuals going through, you know, what is going to go down. This is going to show up. This stuff is going to show up in history books, guys. This is going, you know, I've seen pictures and images and stories. And I can just, even 10 years from now, when we're looking back, you know, a decade down the line, we're going to look back at the start of 2020 and we're going to be looking at these pictures, maybe not in textbooks anymore, in virtual books or whatever we're going to have 10 years down the line. And it's weird to be living through, you know, this significant moment in history, because it's not a great moment to live through, right? It was supposed to be space travel, damn it. Like, it was supposed to, we were supposed to be, you know, sipping, you know, Orange Julius is on the moon or something. I don't know. Instead, we've got another, you know, global plague. So that's all going on. But it's important to remember that we are all in this together. And the members of the Rockets organization have definitely been doing their part. And it first started, surprisingly, with Ben McLemore. So Ben McLemore and his foundation, the Kevin McLemore Foundation, actually, you know, they started things off for the Rockets. I think that was the first bit of news that immediately broke out of the Rockets organization as far as any individual player or any individual entity that was trying to do something to make things better. And his organization was working on getting masks provided to hospitals that needed them, right? So that was the first domino to fall, I guess, from the Rockets. And then I'm just going down the line. I've got like 10 headlines here, right? And these are just the ones that I found, you know, as I was clicking through the recent, you know, Rockets headlines. Leslie Alexander donates $1.5 million to local area nonprofits to try and help, you know, battle the spread of COVID-19. And, you know, so what did he donate to? The Animal Justice League, Be a Resource for CPS Kids, Child Advocates, Citizens for Animal Protection, Houston Hospice, and Kids Meals. So six different organizations that he donated $1.5 million to. Head coach Mike D'Antoni donates $100,000 to the Greater Houston COVID-19 Recovery Fund, which is backed by Mayor Sylvester Turner. PJ Tucker started a clothing line where all the support for, or all the proceeds from it, go to support the Houston Food Bank charity. So all these different things, and I'm just, again, I'm three headlines in. Daniel House donates $20,000. You know, and donates $20,000 to the Houston Food Bank to help provide 60,000 meals to local families who are, you know, struggling in this time of need. You know, these are just things that these guys don't have to do this. And I think that's the part that we all need to remember, is that, you know, these are professional athletes and they have a platform and, you know, they make millions of dollars, or, you know, some of them don't even make millions, right? Hundreds of thousands or whatever. But they don't have to do this, you know. And there's guys that, you know, and this brings me to one of the guys on this list, Russell Westbrook, who recently bought 650 laptops for Houston area kids who, you know, don't have access to the technology to be able to continue school. It's things like that. Russell Westbrook isn't from Houston. Russell Westbrook has barely spent 6 or 7 months in the city of Houston, right? He's a fresh member of the Houston Rockets. And yeah, he's made tons of money in his career, but he doesn't have to do this. There's nobody, you know, telling him, forcing him to do it. And I like to believe that these guys aren't doing this as like some type of a publicity stunt. I don't think they're doing it just to, you know, for the good karma. I think they're doing it because they know it's the right thing to do, and they have a platform and they have the money to be able to do it. And I like to think that each and every one of us that is, you know, if you're listening to this podcast or you interact with me on social media or whatever, I like to think if we were in that position too, where we had millions of dollars to be able to support the less fortunate, that we would do that. Because there are people out there, there are multimillionaires or billionaires who aren't contributing anything back to society during this situation. And so seeing these players, you know, that we have come to know and love as members of the Houston Rockets, you know, do their part to, you know, prop up the community. James Harden provides a week of food for 5,000 Houston families. You know, he does all sorts of things. He teamed up with Kroger, I guess, to do, what is it? What's he doing? A week's worth of groceries to 600 families in need each week for the next 8 weeks. So, I mean, nobody expect, like, I guess people expect this of them, but again, they don't have to do it, right? And I, for one, appreciate that these guys are taking, you know, money out of their own pocket, money that they earned, to turn back around and help the community that, you know, loves and supports these guys when they're on the court. And, You know, we do miss seeing these guys. We miss seeing these guys play basketball. We miss being able to interact with them. We miss hearing from them. And that's why we're going to hear from Eric Gordon here coming up in just a moment, because, you know, I definitely miss being able to talk about the team, to be able to talk about what's going on with them. And even though Eric Gordon doesn't have a basketball hoop at home, which we talked about that last week with Ben DuBose about Eric's apparent lack of a basketball hoop at home, so he can't even practice his jump shot, but he's feeling better. He is, you know, the rest and relaxation that this has provided for him to be able to get healthy has been huge. And so, you know, we'll go ahead and take this first break, and coming up, we will hear from Matt Thomas and Eric Gordon in just a moment. But first, a quick message from our friends over at Postmates. From an early morning breakfast burrito to a 12-pack of beers while you're rewatching highlights of the games that you can't be watching live right now, unfortunately, sometimes you just need what you need delivered fast, and that's where Postmates actually comes in. So if you're like me, you might even start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch, or what to eat for lunch while you're eating breakfast, and hey, that's why I love using Postmates. They deliver food from every restaurant I can think of right to my door. But Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make my life easier with grocery store delivery and whatever else I can think of delivery too. Convenience stores, clothing stores, drug stores, whatever, you name it, they will deliver it. So no more trips to the store, no more late night fast food runs. I don't even have to worry about where to grab lunch anymore. Just download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get anything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit. That's $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. You can start your free deliveries. Just download the app and use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As promised, we will get to Eric Gordon's interview with Matt Thomas of Sports Talk 790 here. So we'll just jump straight into that, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Eric Gordon on the Matt Thomas Show. EG, what's a good word today?
Man, nothing much, man. Just another day in paradise doing the same old thing.
See, you're laughing. That makes me sad. What the hell are you? Seriously, do not lie to the audience. What have you been doing? I mean, obviously you're working out, staying in shape, but what's the rest of an Eric Gordon day?
The rest of my day is, you know, watching some movies, playing video games a little bit with my brother, and just being around the house, man. This is, you know, different times, and, you know, it's just you can't really do much, and I try to avoid, you know, I've just been staying around the house and avoiding running around on the streets.
Could you have played in an NBA 2K contest, or are you good enough to do that?
No, I don't even play NBA 2K, man. And plus, I mean, I just can't play that. I'd rather play like a Call of Duty or something like that. I never was really into 2K.
Yeah, I tried to do the play-by-play of an NBA 2K game, and it worked for a while, but everybody's numbers had changed. So, like Dwight Howard was wearing like 67 for the Lakers, and it kind of threw my game off a little bit. So I don't know what number you'd be. But what about this horse thing? Are you watching it on ESPN the last couple of days?
No, I didn't, but I did hear about it. And, you know, man, we just need this stuff to get back to reality, man.
We do.
We just need that's all that really matters at this point is. You know, when can we get this thing back into reality?
Hey, Eric, if ESPN calls you for something, just tell them you're very busy. Just make some crap up. I don't care what it is. Just say no. Don't do any of it. It's not worth it. It's bad program.
Right. I'm just been chilling, man. I ain't been doing nothing too much. Just staying away, and hopefully, you know, things can turn around and get back with the season or whatnot.
Let me ask you this. Who are you talking to? I mean, are you getting updates? Do you not want to know? Are you staring at Twitter, calling your friends, calling labor people? How are you kind of keeping up to date on what the league's thinking about?
Oh, we're definitely getting updates. You know, as you can see, you know, they always talk about, you know, how the players might do their payment plans or whatnot. But it's really hard to say, man. You know, everybody's for sure optimistic, but I don't think you can really 100% say that we're going to have a season or whatnot. You just don't know yet until, you know, times get better or You know, because, you know, people, you know, from, you know, our government and the higher-ups in the NBA, from Adams, I guarantee they have some kind of, you know, they know what's going on in the day-to-day in this world. And, you know, and us players and whatnot, you know, we're just hoping that we're just optimistic and hopefully things can, you know, resume back to play here in the near future.
Eric Gordon with us from the Houston Rockets on Sports Talk 790. I got to answer, you asked this question, when's the last time you played a game in front of no fans? I'm going to assume that had to have been maybe some AAU days in a gym. That, it's been a long time, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, only thing I can think of is, you know, maybe a scrimmage in high school before the season gets started. Maybe having a couple game people inside of an AAU game. But other than that, man, I can't remember. Like in college, when there was a game, there was a game. It was packed out. So, I, you know, it's been a very long time. So that would be, and definitely in the NBA, that would be so unusual. I mean, so unusual.
Yeah, it's really, really bizarre to think about it. But, again, to get you guys back on the floor is, I think, it's the most important thing. You grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana. I mean, one of the big basketball states. How crazy was it? Now, look, you're a rock star now in the NBA, but was it crazy being a high school star in Indiana, knowing how important that sport is to that state?
It is, because still to this day, they never forget their Mr. Basketball or any top player that's came out of Indiana. Any other NBA Indiana player could tell you that that's played in NBA or any other high level. You'll always be remembered. And it was just great growing up in Indianapolis where, I mean, let me tell you this, when I was in high school, everybody that was in our county that was our rival had an NBA player. Like every game I was running into a guy that played in the NBA, whether it was George Hill or Jeff Teague and Courtney Lee or Gordon Hayward at Brownsburg or Lawrence North where they had Mike Conley and Greg Oden. So it was just every game you had an NBA, potential NBA star in high school that you were going against.
So who was the youngest player you ever went against that you can remember that you now play against now? Is there anybody like maybe in fifth or sixth grade, maybe junior high, high school? How far back can you go back with somebody that you played with in the league?
Well, Romeo Langford played on my AAU team, and now he's with the Celtics. But me to actually play him and be around him, and one is R.J. Hunter. He played, you know, he was with the Rockets for a short period of time, and then he was with the Celtics for a short period of time. Him, Yogi Ferrell.
Oh, yeah.
Who else?
Well, hell, Trey Lyles. Oh, yeah, that's a good group. What about my producer, Joe George, was telling me that you and Derrick Rose would get after back in the day. Tell me about those matchups.
Oh, yeah, me and him really used to go out get after each other in high school because we definitely wanted to show who was the best guard in the country. And then next thing you know, after our junior years, we was like, man, we got to stop being competitors and be teammates. And, yeah, for that summer, I mean, it was one of the most fun summers I ever had in my whole basketball career. I mean, we traveled around the country with six or seven guys, we hooped in T-shirts and we had these white shirts and we just went around the country just destroying people. So it was just a bunch of good times. Me and him had a lot of, me and him been close and we still close to this day. And it was just fun times.
How's he occupying his time right now? Same way you are?
Oh, got to be. You know, we got to be very cautious for sure because, you know, you never know what they say here in a month or two. You know, they say, oh, you guys got to start working out together, quarantine, start working out together. And yeah. you got to be healthy.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of different things out there about how the league resumes, whether you keep you guys in the same city or you all run to Vegas now. There's a part of me that's selfish about Vegas, but part of the fun of Vegas, EG, as you know, is getting out and getting around a little bit. It sounds like the Vegas plan would be basically arena to hotel back to the arena. I mean, have you mentally prepared for that being a possibility?
Hey, man, that would limit all distractions. I think that would be good for the league. And then you, and then without fans, as much as we want to have the fans there, if there were not the fans there, you get to see real dynamics on, you know, how players operate and how teams operate, and you just focus in on what we're doing. So, I mean, I think that'll be good. That'll be a really good plan for us. But as long as we get back on the floor and finish the season out, that's what really matters. And you never know, man. This could be our only option.
So it's funny because you're the first player I've heard that's been kind of optimistic about it. That's kind of cool that you'd bring that up. I never thought of it that way because I don't know if you know this, EG, but I do like to go to a casino once in a while. And I don't know if I'd be able to behave myself for like 3 months in Vegas if I couldn't go to a place to throw the dice a little bit.
Well, I don't know. We might, you know, I'm just saying if they ever said, hey, you know, we're going to resume season. We're going to resume it in Vegas and resume it at a location, one location. I bet you will still see a different Vegas. There might not be everything going on, you know.
Yeah.
It could be, but it might or it might not. But,
well, you know what it is,
though? Vegas will still be a different.
That's true. I still think that what you're saying and a lot of other players in the league are saying is you just don't want this thing to end the way that it's, you know, you want to crown a champion. You don't go through training camp. You don't play 75% of your games for it to just be stopped. Somebody's got to be crowned a champion. And I think that's the overriding sentiment with you and your players. Would you guys agree on that?
Yeah, there has to be a champion. And, you know, it's just so close. I mean, the average team probably had, what, 16, 17 games left, and it was just getting so close to where the excitement really happens. And then this happens, but safety is first, but, you know, we definitely got to figure out how to find a way to get the crown somebody.
All right, last thing I'd look before I let you run. I've always been a proponent of December start date to crowning a champion in August. I just think y'all play some great basketball, and because football and college football dominate those first 2 months, that it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. Any thought one way or the other about a December start around Christmas and then crown that champion around Labor Day, or do you kind of want to keep things where it is with the calendar?
No, I think I would like for it to change. I really would. I think I really do like that, to have that season start in December, like on Christmas, late December,
yeah,
and end in early August or maybe even late July. I like that better. I mean, it does suck because the only thing that sucks is it'll go into the summer, but at the end of the day, man, you know, you still get the same result. You still get a lot of free time, but I think we should start in December. That'll be really well. That will do everyone well.
I think so. I think it'll make the league a lot more popular, you know, when that Christmas start day, because it's kind of like the unofficial start of the season. You talking to any of your teammates? So what's everybody hanging out and doing? Are y'all zooming or anything like that, or just kind of just texting and talking that way?
Yeah, they have us on a couple of Zoom. Yeah, we've got together a few times, but, you know, same old, same old. We're just all waiting for this to get over and hopefully get back to playing. But everybody's doing the same thing, you know, trying to figure out ways to stay in shape and also be healthy at the same time during this time. So everybody's doing the same thing, just laying low and chilling.
Does Mike D'Antoni know how to use a Zoom?
Oh, I see. He's pretty savvy now. He's pretty savvy, so I'm pretty sure he for sure knows how to.
Man, his crossword game must be uber strong right now. Would you agree?
Oh, no question. You know he's finding every puzzle in the newspaper or whatnot every day, so he's finding something different.
I know. Hey, stay safe, my friend. I miss rolling with y'all on the road. Going to get you guys playing some games again. Go get that championship, and we look forward to seeing you play some games in the next too distant future. Thanks for taking a few minutes of your time for me today.
Oh, yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, it's Eric Gordon, Houston Rockets, with us here on the Sports Talk 790.
Hope you guys enjoyed hearing from Eric Gordon chatting with Sports Talk 790's Matt Thomas. I certainly did. That conversation taking place Tuesday afternoon. So some great information there, and we'll talk about, you know, some of what, you know, Eric shared coming up here in just one moment. So you guys don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And you know what? I've given a little bit of thought, and like I've considered removing the like your team every day plugs and the saying, you know, Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home, since we're down to just three a week now. So, you know, ideally Monday, Wednesday, Friday when I'm not, you know, sick as a dog like I was this week. But honestly, we are daily. Like, you know, if there's breaking news that is substantial, you know, I'm going to be sitting down in front of my microphone as soon as possible to get a podcast out to you guys. And this is only temporary. You know, if we were having a regular sports season, we would be 5 days a week. We would be daily. And so I'm going to keep plugging it that way because that's what this network is known for. That's what this podcast is known for, is being put out 5 days a week unless there's an emergency of some sort, which does happen on occasion, but we try not to let it happen too often. But anyways, I've given it some thought as to whether or not I'm going to change up how I say, you know, do my little rejoiners like that or how I intro the podcast, and I think I'm going to keep it the same. But, you know, getting back to the matter at hand, so hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing from Eric Gordon, chatting with Matt Thomas of Sports Talk 790. But the big thing, right, that Eric is in favor of, and the piece that I really want to shine some light on, is Eric is in favor of an NBA season that would start in December. He's in favor of starting the season, in fact, on Christmas Day. Now, he and I do differ there. I wouldn't be in favor of necessarily starting on Christmas Day, and here's why. And I think I've voiced this before, but in case you didn't hear that one, here it goes again. I think that Christmas Day basketball is as iconic to at least to NBA fans as, say, like Thanksgiving Day football, right? It's just, it's become the norm. It's Christmas Day. You're going to have a slate of basketball games on. Ideally, you're going to watch competitive basketball all day. Now, here's the thing about current Christmas Day basketball, right? Is current Christmas Day basketball, the teams have had about a month or two to kind of get into their rhythm, and you've kind of established some new rivalries, and you've kind of seen the high power rookies and the high octane teams of the league, and you have a feel for who the top dogs of the league are going to be, and you have a feel for if those Christmas Day matchups are going to be like total slugfests back and forth, right? So if you start on Christmas Day, you kind of take away all that hype. You take away all that buildup. Now, obviously, it's not possible to replicate the same hype and buildup, but if you were to maybe start the season early December, like maybe say, like not on December 1st, but give the players a couple weeks, right? Give them 2 to 3 weeks to get revved up. And then by then you're at like the 10 game or so mark of the season. And then that's when you could land on, say, Christmas Day basketball. And then that would be a better, I think that would be a better setup, right? Because then you really get to advertise still Christmas Day basketball rather than associating Christmas Day with the start of the NBA season. And it is, as they mentioned, you know, as Matt and Eric already kind of mentioned, is it is the unofficial start of the NBA season, more or less, is, you know, Christmas Day basketball, because you've got football season is starting to kind of wind down a little bit. Baseball's already been done for, like it's, or football season's not winding down. What am I saying? It's just, I don't know. There's too much competition going on in that point in the year, right? There's too much overlap between different leagues, different sporting events, all that stuff. And I know that's not really an issue right now because we may or may not even have fans in stadiums. So that's kind of the whole, you know, issue moving forward, is are we even going to have traditional sports back, and when are we getting them back? But I think that starting the season in December has its perks. And as a proposed kind of layout plan, right, for the remainder of this current season, right, you could start the playoffs, say, early July or mid-July, as long as we're starting with no fans in stadiums, which the chief health advisor to the White House, I was just on the phone with my epidemiologist friend earlier, and we were talking about how to pronounce this doctor's name. Is it Dr. Fauci? We're going to go Fauci. Dr. Fauci, the chief U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases health advisor to the White House. There we go. That's a mouthful. Anyways, he basically said that he does see a way of sports to be able to resume is basically no fans in stadiums. And if he's suggesting that, if the top dog health advisor to the White House is suggesting sports can resume as long as you do it without fans in stadiums, then I do see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel where this is possible. And that's not just me with my inherent bias of really wanting sports back, because obviously I do, right? I talk about sports. This is a job for me. I enjoy doing it. I love sports. I love basketball. I would love to see sports back. I don't want to see it back until everything is safe, right? I don't want to put any more lives in danger. I don't want, you know, the people that are on the front lines right now, the grocery store workers, the essential employees, the medical personnel, the nurses and doctors that are fighting tooth and nail every day to make sure that we're going to get through this. I don't want to put more undue stress on them just so I can watch James Harden, you know, drill a three-pointer over some chump on the basketball court. As much as I miss basketball and would love to see more of it, I don't want any of that to happen until it's safe. Now, that being said, if it is safe, and if we can do no fans in stadiums, this is the kind of outlook that, you know, has been suggested that kind of makes a lot of sense to me. So early July, mid-July, you start the NBA playoffs. You basically just jump straight back into the playoffs, and you do a bit of a preseason warm-up, I guess, before the playoffs start. Then you have the, so then around mid-August, say, you have the NBA Finals. End of August, you have the NBA Draft. September 1st could be the start of free agency. September 10th? Yeah, there we go. I read that right. September 10th could be the summer slash fall league. And then December 10th would be training camp. And then December 25th would be the start of regular season. Now, again, if we were going off of my timeline, I would want to backtrack that just a little bit and maybe start training camp, say, mid-November and start the regular season early December to give some ramp-up time to Christmas Day. But other than that, I'm kind of okay with that layout, right? And then mid-June-ish, you would have your regular season end. And so that would put the NBA playoffs every year starting in July. They would wrap up by mid-August. And I'd be in favor of that. I think that's a pretty solid agreement. And, you know, the fact that Eric Gordon, an NBA player, endorses that layout, endorses pushing the season back, I'm sure there's other players that would love to push the season back as well. And, you know, yeah, they miss out on summer, but they're still getting the same, you know, roughly the same amount of time off. Not this year, obviously, with everything going on. You know, everything would be kind of sandwiched together this season, so they wouldn't quite get the same amount of off time this go around. But in future years, I could see this being largely beneficial, because then this could potentially solve the whole ratings issue that the NBA's been having over the previous seasons. You know, not getting that much viewership. There's less competition with other sports. And all in all, I see it as kind of an interesting, good thing that, you know, could potentially happen. Like, I think there's, if there's any time for the NBA to make a drastic change, this would be it, right? They could easily implement this change, you know, get the ball rolling on all the logistics behind this change right now, including the whole no fans in stadiums, all that mess, and just kind of roll with the punches. And if it sucks, then they switch back to the traditional format. I don't know. You know, I'm not, thankfully, I'm not one of the paid experts, right? I just get to speculate on this thing. But I like the idea behind it. I do like the idea of pushing back the NBA season. And it sounds like Eric Gordon is in that same boat with me. So with that being said, I think that's where we're going to wrap up today's episode. Just kind of short and sweet. Wanted to tackle those few things with you guys, and looking forward to chatting with Anthony Duckett from Space City Scoop, as we are going to actually, that'll be the next set of episodes coming out. We're actually going to do kind of a domino effect of Rockets transaction history starting from the 2010-2011 offseason, and kind of just rolling through the decade and seeing how we got to this current Rockets team, and maybe exploring some of the what-if scenarios along the way. So I'm excited to share that one with you guys soon. But as always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you right here again at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.